child will delight in a gift. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
You're listening to Key Life, a program that isn't designed for nice Christians doing nice things for God and helping you to be nicer. This is Bible teaching for real living. Here's Pete.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, well, actually, I'm not. What I'm doing is that I'm not going through a particular text here. I'm giving you a text, and then we're moving off from that and thinking about Christmas themes and children. It's Matthew 18:1-5, and it reads this way: At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you're converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Now, when you read that text, if you say, "Oh, isn't that sweet?" you haven't understood. See, Jesus is saying something that is really profound, and he says something that we need to do. Now, by the way, when he uses the word converted, he's not talking about justification. He's talking about something that needs to be happening in process in the life of every believer who's listening to me right now, and that includes me. We need, as Christians, to begin to understand that the world says, "Grow up," and Jesus says, "Grow down." The world says, "Be a man," and Jesus says, "Be a child." The world says, "How could you be so silly?" And Jesus says, "Dance and laugh and be a child." And then you will begin to understand. Now, if you were listening yesterday, I started by saying that Christmas was for children. And that caused you to wimp, or wince. It's the microphone, it's not me. Caused you to wince. And you know why? Because you, like me, are so tired of politicians who use children to justify a political power agenda. But I said that though it sounds trite, Christmas is really for children. I said yesterday that I'm a Scrooge. I'm not proud of that, but it's true. Generally, I enjoy Christmas by enjoying watching other people who enjoy Christmas. You ought to come to our house right now. I mean, our house looks like a Christmas shop. My wife decorates everything. The dogs have red Christmas bows on them. You can't go any place that you don't bump into a wreath, or mistletoe's kind of nice. You think one Christmas tree is sinful because it's pagan? Let me tell you something. I've got Christmas trees coming out my ears. My wife has a Christmas tree on her car. Whenever she turns it on, it lights up. Turns on the car, this Christmas tree lights up. She bought one for me, and I said, "You know, we got to have some rules around here. One of the rules is that you stay out of my study at our home. I mean, you can come in there. I like for you to be there. Just don't bring any Christmas stuff into my study. And secondly, don't make me drive around with a Christmas tree in my car. I don't believe I can do that. But you know something? Let me let you know a little secret. I just love watching Anna love Christmas." And she's inculcated that into our daughters. And Jennifer has inculcated that into her children, our granddaughters, and they just have a wonderful time at Christmas. And I like to just kind of sit back and watch them enjoy something that I have trouble enjoying. It started when I was a pastor, not probably started, and maybe you can identify with this. Maybe it started a long time ago when my daddy was drunk at Christmas. Maybe it started when we just didn't have enough at Christmas, and that was a very scary time. Maybe it started because I felt so much shame at Christmas. I don't know. But then it proceeded when I became a young pastor, and I found out a lot of people go through a lot of bad stuff at Christmas. People who are lonely are more lonely at Christmas than they are at any other time of the year. People who don't feel valuable feel less valuable at Christmas than any other time of the year. People who have wounds find that those wounds bleed at Christmas. So if you're a pastor, I know what you're going through. If you're a pastor, you're having to do a lot of counseling. You're having to bind up a lot of broken hearts, and you're very busy. And then you put on top of that all the extra services and all the stuff they do at Christmas and all the parties and all that stuff. When I was a pastor, first I didn't like Christmas because of the stuff I just told you, and then I didn't like Christmas because of the stuff I had to do as a pastor, so I became a Scrooge. And I made a commitment to God that I was going to try not to mess it up for my family and for others who love me. And so I got into this mode of really enjoying their joy. But I'm better than I was. I'm growing in Christ because Jesus said, don't grow up, grow down. And the older I get, the less I am. The older I get, the more I realize that if I want to see the kingdom, I've got to laugh and dance and delight in it the way Jesus said I ought to do. And so really understanding Christmas becomes being a child. Am I more childlike than I used to be? You know, I was speaking not too long ago at a church in Louisville, Kentucky, Southeast Church. Big old church. And a lady came up to me afterwards, and she said, you know, Steve, I used to go to your church years and years ago when you were a young pastor, and you're old now. And she said, let me tell you the change that I've seen in you. And I thought, look, this, don't rag on my bald head, my grayness and my beard. Don't talk about my paunch and the slowness with which I walk. And she didn't. She twinkled. She said, back in those days, you were really, really angry. And now you're not so angry. Now there's a mellowness in you. And she said, as she smiled, even a childlikeness that I find really great. And I remember in those days when a lady in our church brought her brother to church who was a psychiatrist. He was not a believer, and they were walking away. She turned to her brother and said, what did you think of him? You know what he said? He said, I've never seen anybody live that close to the edge of hostility. Well, I still struggle with that sometimes. I'm sometimes angry and don't know why. And I don't like that in me. And I've asked God not to help me grow up, but to help me grow down, to be more and more like a little child. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're single and don't have children, you probably have your doubts about the doctrine of total depravity. However, if you're a parent and you've got kids, you don't have any doubts whatsoever. There's something childish about childishness. But Jesus said you got to be like a little child. And then we saw yesterday, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about it today, Jesus said a child understands the wonder, or I think this is what Jesus was saying, a child understands the wonder of a gift. Notice in the text that when Jesus had them bring the child to him, the child didn't run. In fact, have you ever seen those pictures of the children just gathering around Jesus? Well, that's biblical, sitting on his lap. Let me tell you something. You want to know about the real nature of somebody, see how the children react to that person. I scare them. They look at me and they want to run. But after a while, they get over the intimidation of the deep voice and the mean look and the ugliness. And children kind of like me. You know why Jesus said we had to be a child? Because a child can understand the wonder of a gift. I remember on a talk show I was doing one time, and a little five-year-old kid called up and said, Mr. Brown, would you explain to me about Jesus and God and all that stuff? And then I got the father down real low, and I told him about Christmas. And I told this little boy about how God looked at us, and he knew we were unhappy, and he knew that we weren't very good, and he knew that sometimes we were so sad. And so God, because he liked us a lot, entered time and space, and he became one of us. And he loved us so much that he took all our bad stuff and all our pain to a cross, and he died there in our place. And then he got up from the grave and said, you can too. You know what that little five, I'll never forget this. I wish I had a tape of it. Because it was one of the most wonderful statements I've ever heard. Profound, and it's metaphysical and theological insights. You know what this five-year-old said? Five-year-old said, neato! Neato! And I think when the child said, neato, the child was what Jesus was talking about, because a child understands how to accept the gift. Somebody tells about a pastor at a church the day after Christmas who found the manger scene was missing baby Jesus. Now, what kind of crook would do that? I mean, you got to be really bad to the bone to steal the baby Jesus from the crèche at the church. Well, anyway, the pastor started looking everywhere for that little baby, the doll of the baby Jesus. You know what he found? He found this little boy with a red wagon pulling the wagon around with the doll in the wagon. And the pastor said, "Son, what are you doing?" And the little boy said, "Well, I asked Santa for a wagon, and I told Jesus if I got it, I'd give him a ride." And some of you critical, angry Scrooges like me are saying, "That's terrible. Shouldn't that child have a bit of respect for the incarnational realities taught in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, exegeted properly?" You don't understand. I was talking to Jesus about that story before I told you, and he said, "Neato, you think about that." Amen. Hey, listen, if you didn't get our Christmas Meditations booklet that we're offering, you're not going to get it for Christmas. I mean, we're not that good. But let me tell you something. It's sometimes better for Christians to think about Christmas after Christmas is over, because we don't have so much stuff to do. So you might want this, and this can be really helpful as you look back and think about, what was all this about? And that sometimes is the best Christmas that a Christian has, and this book will help. Just give us a call, and I'll send it to you. 1-800-KEY-LIFE. You can write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Lakeland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, M3H5M3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask for Christmas Meditations. Absolutely free, without charge or obligation. And I mean that. Some of you, however, could help us financially, and this is a very expensive ministry, and we're going through a very difficult time. So if you could help us financially, I promise you 3 free sins, but I can't do that. However, you sure would make a difference to a whole lot of people. So if you can help us financially, do it and be as generous as you can. You can charge it on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, put it in your envelope, and for any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching 5 Factions of God's Love. Gotta go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.